Well, it's a blessing to be here again this evening. You know, we serve a God that meets with us in the morning and is willing to meet with us at night. Sometimes these night services can be real blessings to us. I was inspired by the phrase of that song tonight that said, "Hidden in thy righteousness." You know, if it weren't for the cross, if it weren't for the blood of Jesus, if it were not for the righteousness of God, all of us would be lost. I can't earn my way into heaven. And whenever I began to think about my own righteousness, I don't know how you think about this in your life, but when I began to think about my own righteousness, I began to get a little down, maybe get a lot down. And it's discouraging. I don't have what it takes to be able to offer the Lord my own righteousness and expect to gain eternal life. And yet we sing the song tonight that said, "Hid in thy righteousness." I was remembering when I was in math class one time, our math professor, we would go in and have our tests at night so that we could have as much time as we wanted to take the test, which was nice because we usually needed a lot of time to take the test. Well, he had this little thing that at the very top of the test, it said, "I," and then a line, and you're supposed to put your name in there, "promise that I did not cheat on this test." And then you do your test, and when you get done, you're supposed to put your name on that and turn it in, and I guess all was good. Well, I remember one night we were taking our test and getting close to time had been getting away, and there was a guy up there that his pencil wasn't moving and he was just sitting there looking at his paper for the longest time. I don't know why he caught my eye. And pretty soon he got up and he made a beeline to the front as quick as he could go and dropped his test and made a beeline for the door. And pretty soon the professor started hollering after him, "Wait, wait, wait, you forgot to sign the pledge." That's what he called it, the pledge. "You forgot to sign the pledge." Well, he didn't turn around and come back. He was out of there. So he didn't feel comfortable not cheating on the test, but he didn't feel comfortable pledging that he hadn't cheated. And I thought about that. The professor was going to give a grade based on what you knew. His intent was to evaluate us, not on what somebody else had to offer. His intent was, "I want to give you a grade, and you're going to pass or you're going to fail based on what you know, not what your neighbor knows. And I'm serious enough about it that I also want you to pledge to me that you haven't cheated." Did you know that I'm real glad that when we get to the judgment, that I don't have to stand before God all by myself? I'm real glad that Jesus Christ was willing to pay a price that I couldn't pay. I'm so thankful tonight that I don't have to get up before God, the Creator of all things, and be judged without having access by the blood of Jesus to the righteousness of Christ. But I can be hid in His righteousness. I can be saved because of the blood of the Lamb. Folks, when we get a hold of that, when we can get to the place where the devil no longer can bully us and push us around and discourage us by saying, "How can you be a Christian and not be able to manifest all of these fruits of the Spirit in the most beautiful way with no blemishes at all?" When we get to the place where we realize we can't earn our way into heaven, there's a large load that comes off of our back. Jesus Christ did not come that we live just however we want. He came to forgive us of our sins. He came to help us to be able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to gain victories where we didn't before have victory in our life. And yet at the end of the way, we are saved by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. I'd like to read a verse. I won't keep you real long tonight. But I'd like to read a verse in the 5th chapter of Galatians and the 22nd verse. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's no law against any of these things. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And I wanted to probe just a little bit and ask you a question to think about, because I think about this. When you hear that verse read, "but the fruit of the Spirit," automatically all of a sudden it's like, Christians, the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, if the Spirit is manifest in your life, the fruit of it is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. What goes through your mind when you read that sometimes? I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I feel a lack. I read these sometimes and I feel like, Lord, help me. Sometimes some of these stand out more than others. Lord, I don't feel like that I have the joy that I'd like to have. Lord, I feel like I'm maybe in some cases I'm not as long suffering as what I believe you would have me to be, that is a direct manifestation of the Spirit of God. Lord, gentleness. I don't think that I'm always as gentle as maybe you would be in every situation that I find myself in. And Lord, my faith, sometimes I just don't know that it's exactly what you had in mind. Have you ever thought that? Do you ever feel in need of these things? I do. I feel like sometimes, Lord, I desire to have more of your Spirit. But here's the thing tonight. When we feel that, when we experience that, because I think we will if we're honest with ourselves, what do we do about it? What do we wish? Do we just say, you know, I wish that I had more faith. I wish that I had more love. I wish that I had more peace and that I had more joy in my life. Maybe sometimes we may occasionally ask for help in a certain area. Or sometimes, if the enemy will have his way, we could just resign ourselves to our current less than adequate state. You know that the enemy is good at that. Just telling us, telling you, that's just who you are. You've tried. You've tried to be a different person in this area. You've tried to have more joy. You've prayed about having more faith. You've endeavored to do these things, but that's not you. Maybe that's for everybody else, but that isn't for you. The enemy would like to get us to be in the place where we resign ourselves to a state that God has something different for us. We are saved by His grace. We're saved by His righteousness. But you know, the Lord has a place of growth for us in all of these areas. And I think that sometimes God wants us to ask with expectation. And what I want to encourage each one of you tonight, there's a verse in James, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse, and it said, "Yet ye have not, because," remember what it said? "Because you ask not." You don't have because you didn't ask. Do sometimes we ask for things of the Lord in a half-hearted effort? And then we wonder why we don't have a full plate of whatever it is that God may have available and in store? Because sometimes we don't ask. God wants us to ask with expectation. And sometimes it said that we don't receive because we ask amiss. And I want to pause for a minute and just pose this to you. I wonder sometimes too, if sometimes we can get caught up still living in the old dispensation way of where God manifested Himself. In the old dispensation, under the old law, God manifested His strength to His people in a lot of temporal, physical ways. The walls of Jericho came down, literally. The waters of the river parted and they were able to cross over. The Lord would send ambushments against literal enemies. And He wants to do a lot of those things for us today. But He also wants to do things in our heart. The Lord has a resurrection of life for us in our heart. And I wonder if sometimes we ask and we spend more of our time looking for temporal blessings. And I ask for temporal blessings. And God's interested in those things. He wants to bless you in those things. But He also wants to give us more of the fruit of the Spirit. And He wants you to desire it. He wants it to be important to us. You know, when I get sick and I'm down and I'm hurting and I'm aching and my head's hurting and I don't feel like moving, I feel quite a sense of urgency to pray that God will help me to feel better, don't you? Isn't that kind of forefront and center? Lord, I'm sick. Lord, I need help. I got work to do to go. And Lord, I'm aching. This doesn't feel good. And we get before the Lord, don't we? Do you know that sometimes we can get sick spiritually in certain areas? And God doesn't want us, if we're feeling good and we're healthy and our head's not hurting and we're not aching and seems like life's going along, but maybe there's an area in our lives that we're a little spiritually lacking. We're maybe a little sick in that area. Did you know that God wants us to be just as diligent? He wants us to have the same and more sense of urgency in saying, Lord, I need help in this area. Lord, I want to have the joy of the Lord in my life that reigns during the time of distress. Lord, I want to have more faith. Lord, it seems like I lose my faith and I get discouraged. And I don't like that. Lord, would you please give me something that I can't get on my own? Lord, I can't seem to get a hold of this on my own. Would you help me with this? And go to the Lord on more than one occasion. God doesn't want us to do these things just in passing. The Lord doesn't want us to be satisfied with knowing that we have a less than adequate portion of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. When the Lord opens these things up in our lives and maybe we work a little bit at it and then it seems like, well, it's just no use. It's just who I am. I'm not being able to make progress. Don't give up. You wouldn't give up if you were sick. Would you? If you kept aching, wouldn't you keep praying? Normally, don't we? The Lord wants us to get a hold of this in our lives, that He has something special for us. We read about the unjust judge, and remember this person kept coming to him and asking the unjust judge, you know, please deliver me from this. And he got tired of her asking over and over and over. He got tired of it. So finally he gave her what she wanted. And the Lord said, how much more is your Father in heaven? How much more does He want to give good things to His elect that cry unto Him day and night? Do we cry unto Him day and night? I mean, I've found in my life that these are areas that I don't think I've done a good enough job. I look over my life and I think, Lord, I've focused more on temporal things sometimes than addressing the needs of my soul. And I can just, not that it's sin, I'm not saying it's sin, but it can turn into that. But we can give up too easy. We can say the joy isn't there for me. I guess I'm just going to be resigned to living a life of discouragement and a lack of faith and an absence of joy and just a dark cloud that's around me all the time. The Lord wants to do special things for His people. If you have relationship issues, if you have issues on your job, if you have issues in your heart, the enemy would like nothing better than to make you think that's just the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. The Lord has answers for us. He has victory for us. He has places that He wants to part the waters in our lives. He has places where He wants to bring the walls down. What if they would have only circled the wall of Jericho one time and said, well, I didn't see anything happen. Lord, I circled it, but nothing happened. What if they did it the second time and still nothing happened? So they stopped. And the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. No, the Lord said, I want you to do it 7 times. And I don't know. I'm telling you what I think. 7 represents a completeness, doesn't it? Always it seems like it's represented completeness. Do my word completely. Follow me completely and do it with expectation. And they did it 7 times. And they did exactly what God wanted and they didn't give up. And they went from nothing, meaning the wall stood just as strong as ever, every one of those laps, until they got to the end, where they kept looking to the Lord, they kept going back and trusting that God was going to do something special for them. And He did. And the walls came down. And they had a great victory. And I think this evening, folks, God has some victories for us in life. Some walls that may be in your life that seem impenetrable. And they seem like, oh Lord, I've gone after these walls before. And it's just, they don't move. I've prayed about them before. And I'm just going to have to deal with it. And I want to encourage you tonight. Keep going back to the Lord with expectation. God has some victories for you in life that go beyond what you're able to do on your own. If you're willing. If you're willing to persevere. If you're willing to give it your all and make it a priority just as much as we do the temporal things in life. Tough things in life get our attention. I want the absence of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. If that's what's going on, I want that to get my attention. And I want to look to the Lord for help because He has told us and He's promised us that He cares about us and that He has victory for us. He wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. He means what He says. He has victory for us. We don't have to give up. We don't have to say, well, that's just how I was born. We don't have to just say, well, that's not for me, it's for everybody else. The truth, the gospel message, in its entirety, was for all of us this evening. This should encourage us that if you find places in your life where you're lacking, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. If you read these things about the fruit of the Spirit, and the enemy says, well, how can you be a Christian? You're not a picture of perfect picture of all of these things. No, but the Lord does allow us to grow in grace. He allows us to hide in His righteousness as we draw close to Him and say, Lord, I want to be more like You. Lord, I want the Spirit of God and of Christ to be manifested in my life in a greater way. And Lord, there's an area right here that I'm lacking in. And I'm not going to try to hide it, Lord. I'm going to just get it out on the table. Sometimes we're afraid to get it out on the table because we're afraid that we might reveal something to God that He didn't already know. The Lord isn't going to say, well, you're right, you don't have the faith. Thank you for pointing that out. I guess I'm going to drop you down on the list. God knows where we are. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows what our struggles are. It's okay to just open up before the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I believe in You. I believe in my salvation. I believe that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I got a problem right here. And I feel like that I'm lacking in maybe some of these areas. Lord, would You do something for me? And there's a scripture in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, that said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And sometimes I think that we give up too quick. I've given up too quick. Where we don't search with all of our heart. We search, we look, and then we give up. And we resign ourselves to a less than adequate state. We believe a lie of the enemy that says, there's no more victory for you in this area. The Lord, this says, against such there is no law. Even if you feel like you really have the joy of the Lord, He even has more for you. That's the other side of this. Against such, there's no law. There can be an infinite amount of these things. God has special things in store for us, but He wants us to seek Him and search for these things with all of our heart. And the reality is we live in an age where we're so used to instant answers, instant gratification, quick turnaround. You don't know something? You can look it up and you'll have the answer in just a few seconds. You want something to eat? Well, we got microwaves. It'll heat it up real quick. You don't even have to wait on the stove. You want to go out and get it? You want to tell them what you want? Burger King says, have it your way. You can tell them whatever it is you want, get whatever you want, and get it right now, most of the time. And we can live in a time where we're so accustomed to getting just whatever version we want, however we want, as quick as we want, that I'm afraid that sometimes when we go to the Lord with some of these spiritual needs in our lives, when it doesn't come as quick as we're accustomed to getting some of the temporal things in life, we give up. And we miss out on some of the very blessings that God has to give us. So tonight, let's be encouraged to be maybe more proactive. When the enemy comes in and tries to push us and bully us into a corner, that we can rise up by the grace of God, and that we can seek God with expectation that, Lord, I know You love me. I know You care about me. And You promised me, Lord, that if I would seek You with my whole heart, not just today, but tomorrow and the next day, Lord, I'm serious about this. I want a victory that I haven't had before, Lord. That if we would do that, I believe there's some victories. There's some walls that the Lord wants to take down in our lives. There's some cities that He wants to give us. There's some victories in these areas of the fruit of the Spirit that I believe the Lord just wants to give us if we'll just ask. Let's be encouraged tonight in the Lord. He is a gracious, long-suffering God, abundant in mercy and truth, and He is able to do far above, exceedingly above, that which we ask or think. Pray for me. I want to seek the Lord in a greater way. Amen.